is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
Hello, everyone. It's Colonel Gormley here again for you avid listeners, which I know there's three of you out there. I know for sure. 507th Air Refueling Wing Commander, and it is the 10th episode. I cannot believe that we've had nine of these so far, and we've had quite a few people roll through here. Guests, we've had quite a few folks like myself. I'm a host, right? Yes, I'm a host. So we've had quite a few hosts, but this is the first time I think I've hosted by myself. It's a little nerve-wracking now that I thought about that. A little nerve-wracking. Normally, there's a crutch here that I can lean on. That person's not here today, so bear with me. Welcome to everyone listening. Welcome to all the reservists and all the other three or four people that listen to these episodes. This is the first time that I'm here with our brand new honorary commander. So today we have Mr. Brooks Mitchell, and you'll introduce yourself here in a second, but let me just kind of go through how you got here. The 72nd Air Base Wing developed a program called the Honorary Commanders Program, and each unit, and when I say each unit, there's a lot of units on this base, but I want to say each wing, and sometimes they're group commanders. They also have honorary commanders, but not every unit has an honorary commander. So we're blessed to have you. But the honorary commander program itself really is only as good as the community surrounding the base. So the program itself is run by the 72nd Air Base Wing. And I can speak for the Okies. This is hands down the best culture environment I've ever seen in a wing here in the 507th. And I've only been here about 3 years. I'm about to leave. This could be my last podcast. This has just been a special place to be. So welcome.
Good to be here. Thank you.
You bet. So, sir, would you mind introducing yourself and saying hello?
Yeah, it's good to be here. My name is Brooks Mitchell. I'm the city manager for the city of Moore, and it's an honor to be in this program.
You bet. It's an honor to have you here. We could not be happier that you put yourself in the running for this program and that you were chosen to be our honorary commander. It really is the 72nd Air Base Wing is the folks that kind of put the program together, and we just lucked out.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying this, learning a lot.
You bet. And vice versa. And I'll tell you, one of the things I wanted to talk about today really is I don't want this just to be an opportunity for you to come and see all the awesome things we have going on here. In fact, today you got to taxi out a plane. We were out on the flight line.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Colonel Milburn took a jet out that hadn't been flown in about 2 months. It had a couple issues, but maintenance freaking fixed it on the spot, and you got to taxi it out. So that was cool. But that's not just, it's not just coming here. I want our wing to feel comfortable coming out to Moore and being a part of Moore in whatever capacity that means, and whatever, you define that and what you think makes sense. And, I'd love to, implement that in the coming year, while you're here as our honorary commander. I just think there's an opportunity there.
I agree. The City of Moore is a big supporter of Tinker Air Force Base and the military as a whole, and a number of active service men and women, I believe, live in Moore.
And
numerous retirees. Yep. I've met some of the retirees and worked with one of them fairly closely on some projects. The City of Moore has lots of opportunities, and it's a good place to get involved, whether it's with some city events or more public schools, more Norman technology. Our chamber, we've got an excellent chamber. Mm-hmm. And so, there's lots of opportunities for those that want to go branch out and participate.
You bet. And I really want to get into that a little more as we go through the episode, because I want to introduce you to some of the things we have here in the wing, and then talk about maybe some almost not exchange opportunities, but the way we can kind of mix our two communities. Let's take a step back. I would love to know what in the world, how did you learn about the Honorary Commander Program? It's such a unique, cool program. How did that come to your office?
Well, I got an email from Kim Brown, who's the executive director of the Moore Chamber.
We know her well.
And she said, would you be interested in this? I've been involved with it. It's a great program. And I saw it as an opportunity to get to know more about Tinker Air Force Base and what goes on, and really, really learn a lot more. A number of years ago, I took a quick tour of the base. And while those are fun, they're quick, and you really don't have a chance to get in depth and really meet many of the people and learn a lot about it. So I saw this as a great opportunity.
You bet. You bet. And vice versa. Same thing. I think that's why this program, and we don't have these everywhere. They're not at every base, but though I'll tell you, the bases that I have been to that have an honorary commander program inevitably have the best cultures.
Okay.
Because the thought of having an honorary commander program, there's somebody there who feels comfortable enough saying, hey, we need to have the program, which means the culture is probably exactly where it needs to be and the community would support it. Thus, the idea came to fruition. Tinker Air Force Base is only as good as the community that supports it. And this place is outstanding. And I will speak for the 507th Air Refueling Wing. There is no culture like it. And I would assume that the other units on this base, on Tinker, this magnificent giant base, they're all very similar. But this culture is unlike the Oki culture, is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And it's all because of the people that live here and that are part of the wing, thus the community. And that's where more comes in. So,
well, that's great. I mean, I've only been part of the program, I think, for 4 months now, but I'm already biased. And I think it's an excellent program. Uh-huh. And I would hope that bases that don't have this program would look at it and hopefully implement one in the near future.
You bet. You bet. And there's field trips that we want to take you on. One of them that I'd love to do is take you down to Altus Air Force Base. And we have a unit there. We call it a geographically separated unit. The 730th is down there flying KC-46s, KC-135s, and C-17s. I'd love to take you down there, get in a sim, introduce you to that base. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not going to lie.
I've been to Altus.
Okay. Altus is out in the middle of nowhere. I've been there many, many, many months. I've done a lot of training there. But the people of Altus are, salt of the earth, folks. So I'd love to take a trip down there on a day. And
it'd be great. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah. I think my tenure is kind of coming to a close, but I can, there's a field trip in your future.
Sure. That'd be great. Arrange it. Absolutely.
Can you talk? I can tell you, I certainly didn't have all the functions that fall within your purview as a city manager. Can I talk about that? You explained it to me today before we went on the air, but you used different terminology that made it a lot easier for me to understand.
Sure. Well, the city of Moore, in their charter, it's a council manager form of government. Okay. So the city manager is the chief executive officer of the city.
I see.
So in my position, I'm over all the various departments. So that's public safety, police, fire, emergency management, public works, parks, finance, HR. I make all the ultimate personnel decisions. I present the budget to the council. Mm-hmm. Other things that come up, work very closely with police and fire. And so essentially, I run the city and I report to the city council and implement their directives and make recommendations to them either privately or in council meetings as far as which way to go, what projects we should pursue and which ones maybe we don't. It all ultimately flows through me.
That's a lot. There's a lot going on there. We met with all the group commanders today and we talked about the MSG and the MXG and the OG and the medical squadron. There's a lot of similarities between your office, your responsibilities and our wing. In fact, one of the areas that I think I thought about this last night, where are the areas that our communities could benefit maybe by coming together, training opportunities, things like that. And I thought about our security forces squadron. Our security forces squadron does not practice their trade too much on base here at Tinker. Our firemen in the same way, they really prepare to deploy. So when they come in on the once a month weekend, they have a lot of training to accomplish in order to be prepared to deploy. So they're not out fighting fires on those weekends. They're getting ready to deploy to fight fires. But what I was thinking, what a cool opportunity for our firemen, our security forces, our engineers, you can keep going down the list, to come and experience what you do in the civilian world and see the similarities and learn from one another. It would just be another neat opportunity for our two communities to interact.
No, I think that'd be great. That's an excellent idea. Our police and fire have consistent training classes and things do. And so I think it would be real easy to integrate the people here at Tinker into some of our training exercises there and more.
You bet. In fact, you asked me earlier about our, what was the
burn tower?
There you go. It's right here. So our burn tower for Tinker is actually funny. It's right on our campus. It's right next to this building. And it's cool that you asked that because those are the things that person in your position would ask. And it just, when I heard your questions today and I thought, gosh, how similar it is to being a wing commander. The folks that report to you look a little differently in that they're not wearing uniforms. That's probably the, but they're doing the same stuff.
Ultimately a different function, but a lot of the similarities.
Yeah, you bet.
I mean, just Mayor Matt Dukes of Midland uh-huh. City always referred to, and she's just recently retired, Colonel Abby Rosetta, as the mayor of Tinker.
You bet.
And in one of my tours through the base and listening to him talk, you begin to see the similarities.
You bet. In fact, so and that's an interesting perspective too. So the Air Base Wing doesn't own any airplanes. If you're familiar with this, a lot of people don't realize that the 72nd Air Base Wing really is, I think the mayor is a great way of putting it, because they don't own the planes, but they do everything they can to support the units that do own the planes or the depot. The roads are clear during storms. Okay. Or if there's a flood, or the runways, when it's icy, one of the first things that'll happen when we have an ice storm is Abby or whoever the wing commanders of the 72nd, now Colonel Harris, will get on a phone call and get the wing commanders together and say, okay, here's the deal. This is what we're experiencing right now on the airfield, 507th Air Fueling Wing. What flying do you have going on today? And then, or, you know, Stratcom Wing 1, what are you doing today? 552. And then all the wing commanders can request, hey, would you mind working on this taxiway to get our alert jet? So if we get alerted, we can get out as quick as possible. And it's just one big, magnificent orchestra type event where you got the different, you got the woodwinds and you got the percussion and you got the, I'm a cellist by trade. I love the cello. Play a little banjo too, but yeah, it's almost like a little orchestra and everyone comes together to make it work. And the conductor is the 72nd. It's the first time I've used that analogy, an orchestra. And it's always been the mayor analogy, but it's like an orchestra. And we're all doing whatever we can to play the right note to help us all sound better. That's the goal. Everyone, you always want to make your neighbor look better and do better. And so you're always asking, what can I do to help you out? And that's really what this is here. So, and I assume that's the way it is with the different Moore and Dell City. And just, I'm sure you're all friends and you help each other out, but ultimately you have your own.
Sure. You know, Central Oklahoma, we have our share of weather events.
Yeah,
and you bet. You know, Moore especially has had their share of them. Yeah. But we've received help in the past from the surrounding cities. Uh-huh. And we've also reached out to the surrounding cities and helped. We're independent cities, but ultimately, at the end of the day, we're all in this together.
You bet. That's a great way of putting it. So let me ask you this, military affiliation. Did you have any of your father, mother, granddad, any military affiliations growing up? Or
My father served in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
One of my uncles was in the Army.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't know what I was getting into. I mean, to this day, if my mom, I'm not sure my mom's ever listened to one of these. I'm pretty sure she hasn't. She's still trying to figure out her smartphone, but she still has no idea whether she knows I'm in the military. She has no idea whether I'm Air Force, Navy, Army. She has no clue.
Okay.
But she's very proud of everything that our members do, but still, I don't think the service matters. All she cares about is that we're in the military and to fly safe. Right. That's what she'll say, is fly safe. So one of the things, kind of perspective that I've not shared, but I did share it earlier today, and I thought maybe I'd say it. As a commander, one of the perspectives that, and this kind of applies to anybody, but I walk in every day, and I kind of wanted to get your take from a leadership perspective. When I walk in, I call it my AAA perspective, where AAA stands for Airman Aircraft Administration. And when I walk in and I sit at my desk, whatever I'm doing, when someone comes in and there's an airman at the center of the subject, whatever it might be, I drop whatever I'm doing and I focus on that event, because ultimately the airmen are the reason I'm here, is to support them, to give them the environment to thrive, whatever that means. If that subject goes away and I've taken care of that airman, I go on to aircraft. Okay, what do I need to do right now we need a loaner aircraft. So I'm calling other bases to see if we can get a loaner here for a few months, because we need a jet, more jets to fly, because we got some that are deployed right now. And then admin, it's the constant. I know this has got to be analogous with you. The whatever you've done is not complete until the paperwork is drawn up and submitted. So we'll fly out here. We'll go on a 4-hour sortie. You land, you taxi back, everyone's home safe. But until you get the paperwork turned in, that sortie's not over.
That's right.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was the case with you guys too.
No, it is. You have to take care of your people first.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've always thought my role as city manager was to help make the people that work for me successful. It wasn't what to tell them what to do. It was to help make I can do to help make them successful.
You bet.
So
you bet.
Former state senator named Owen Laughlin that I knew gave the example one time that serving in the legislature is like going to college and majoring in everything. Well, being a city manager is essentially the same thing, majoring in everything. Well, I'm a CPA by trade. So obviously I wasn't in the police service or the fire service or public works. And so there's a lot of those things that I don't know a lot about, but I'm over it. And so, my job is to get the right people in place and do what I can to help make them successful, show that I have, that they have my support and that their staff has my support. And then from that point, work on the equipment issues that you have, and then the various paperwork issues. Now, the good thing in my role, as far as the paperwork issues, I just have to sign it. I don't have to actually develop it. So I get off easy there.
I've gotten to that point too, where gosh, I feel for my staff. Hats off to the staffs that those snowflakes, they have to develop them and make sure they're all correctly numbered and titled. And there's a lot of work that goes into bureaucracy, and we're good at it. Yeah. We're good at it. You mentioned something a second ago about your folks and setting them up for success. One of the things that I feel that I've learned in this job is to, and you just said it, you hit it on the head, is to allow your people to do their jobs, allow your commanders to command, and allow your folks to do what you hired them. And the micromanaging that can happen every day to command and say, you know what, I hired this individual to do this job. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I hope when I walk away from this that I can say I did was allow, and I'll speak about my commanders, allow them the flexibility and allow them the autonomy to do what they feel is necessary. And that includes, if you make mistakes, I make them every day, and I make decisions, I think the correct ones, and I will double back and we'll make a different one. They come to me, but hopefully they have the perspective and they feel they can come to me and we can talk about those decisions that were made and re-vector, re-look at it. But ultimately that autonomy is what I think is so critical to being a good leader and allowing your folks the ability to do what they feel is necessary for their people.
Yeah, you have to have that relationship with your staff.
Yeah.
They know that they're empowered to make decisions. Mm-hmm. They know that on certain things they should probably come and advise you or ask for your advice.
You bet.
But if you put someone in a position and you don't have the confidence in them for them to make decisions, well, then you've made the mistake. And so entrust your people and let them do their job.
What's one of the harder things in your job? I'm asking because I wonder if it's, again, analogous to our wing, but what's one of the challenges right now, or maybe it's not even right now, it's just ongoing in your position that you deal with on a regular basis?
Well, the city operations are pretty similar from year in, year out. The main thing right now, though, is the status of the economy. So in Oklahoma, you're primarily funded by sales and use tax. We're the only state that's like this. The other 49 states, they get ad valorem tax for operations. They get other streams of funding. In Oklahoma, essentially, it's sales and use tax. That's 75% of our budget. And so in my job, I don't have the luxury of saying, well, okay, we've got the budget done. So our year starts July 1st. Well, all right, we've got the budget done. So, you know, we're good from now and we can start worrying about stuff next April. It doesn't work that way. I have to be able to plan out longer range, various projects, capital projects that are very expensive, other equipment. Fire engines aren't cheap these days. Police cars aren't cheap anymore. Be able to plan this out. And so spend a lot of time looking at the economic trends and what's going on, because if I'm confident that we're in a growth period, I can recommend certain things. If I'm not confident that we're in a growth period or even in a recession, which we're not, then I have to go another direction. So right now we're just, it's stable, but it's uncertain. And so not sure which direction it's going to go. And so that impacts the decisions that I'm going to make, for the rest of this year. And as we start planning our budget for the next fiscal year.
So explain that tax. So also we are throughout the year, much like you, we're every Thursday morning, we look at our budget. Every Thursday morning, we look at our personnel hiring, both on the military side and the civilian side. But it's a constant shuffling of cards. And can you talk to me about that tax? That comment you made was really interesting. I didn't realize that Oklahoma was different in terms. So when you're given your money for a city the same size as Moore, let's say in Missouri or Texas, are you given about the same budget? Just it came from somewhere different?
No, not necessarily. Oh. I would say the Oklahoma cities are probably underfunded. Absent Oklahoma City and Tulsa, they're a whole different thing.
Right, right.
But I would say the rest of the cities in Oklahoma are probably underfunded compared to cities in other states, especially Texas. Texas gets a lot of ad valorem tax. Now, you know, getting into a tax discussion here, I mean, you can go too far with that, and that can create other issues.
I gotcha. But second order consequences. Yeah,
but just looking at total available dollars, I'm going to say Oklahoma cities have less to work with than cities and surrounding.
That is interesting. And I will say not all wings are created equal either. A lot of it's based off of the population of your wing, how many folks are in it, what is your major weapon system, which is the KC-135 for us. So that all matters on the dollars that you get. And we talked earlier a little about flying hours. They, you know, they don't just give us 8 jets and say, hey, go fly these, do whatever you want. It's here's some jets, and we need you to look at your requirements and tell us, meaning headquarters, how many flying hours do you think you need? And then they give us back what they believe that we will need to execute in order to stay fully trained, capable, and certified, but also knowing that we're going to be needed for events that happen. We're tankers. So you've seen the news over these last few weeks. We were needed on multiple occasions, and we went out and we were ready to go. As soon as they needed us, we left. So seeing that, by the way, in action, it's magnificent to see your people train, and when they're needed, there we go. It's really something. It's special. So I just want our airmen to know that our wing is like a small city. It really is. And that we're very analogous to everything you just described is exactly what we do. Very, very similar. You know, it's just our people don't live in our city. They commute from 20 different states. They come in, they hang out in hotels in your city, or, you know, or in the surrounding area, and then they go back to their homes. And they're citizen airmen is what we call them.
Okay.
Now speaking of that, there's a saying, we have a master of dual professions. That's what we call some of our citizen airmen, meaning many of our airmen come and they wear the uniform and they're doing things that aren't necessarily their jobs on the outside.
Right.
And I mentioned earlier, some of our firemen aren't firemen on the outside. They learn a trade in the military, and they learn to have dual tracks in their lives. It's difficult. Sure. It can be really hard. It's like having two jobs.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have two members that have a building in Moore called Entry Garage Door. That's the name of the business.
Okay.
Sergeant Condit and Sergeant Richardson both own the business. They're out of Moore and they're reservists.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, we don't have a profession in the military that is fixing garage doors. There's not one specific. So they have that business. They're successful, but they come here and basically they do whatever's necessary in maintenance, for instance. They come and they fix the jets.
Okay.
So they have to learn those trades, and they have to be good at burning that candle. And I say that because I remember an old boss of mine said, you know, you got three things. You got your job, you have the military, and then you got your family. And that is everyone that is in this unit can identify with that, because everyone has a family. Whether they have their own children or they're married, they have a family.
Right.
You know, worrying. We do a lot of worrying for our families. So, you know, sure. I have kids, and there's a lot. But that's involved in loving a family and being involved in a family. You worry sometimes, but you got your family, you have your job. There's a lot of worrying there too, right, depending on whatever the situation is. And then you have the military. And there's some worrying that can go on there with what just happened in the world and the Iran events. I mean, yeah, there's a lot happening. So each one of those, you can only do so much. And it's like having a three-legged stool. If you lose one of those, there's going to be an issue.
That's right.
So you're constantly, and I just wanted to make this point known, because being a reservist can be difficult at times. And I mentioned to you earlier that we have a director of psychological health, and she really looks after, Amy Guillory really looks after our folks if they need anything. We have an application on their phones that they can use and utilize to talk to other members of the unit. You know, are they going through problems, and they can anonymously talk to each other or go see Amy. So, but I'll tell you, that three-legged stool has been a part of my life since I've been a reservist, and I joined the reserve in 2008. It's a constant, it's something I constantly think about, because you can only do so much, you know?
That's right.
And I know that in the civilian world, you have the same thing. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, so you kind of put perspective on what we're asking our reservists, our guardsmen to do these days. We are much more incorporated into the active duty world than we ever were prior to 9/11.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, everyone's asking a lot. And we have the same thing and more, primarily for our police officers and our firefighters, because
right.
they see things in performing their jobs that most people don't see. And so it takes a toll. And so it's important that there's someone there to talk to.
That psychological health.
Keep the mental health and mm-hmm. get people, you know, back to where they need to be. So sometimes you got to talk it out, and you have to have someone to go to that you can go to anonymously that you can trust.
Right. Yeah. That's becoming more and more of a, not that it wasn't important back when I, you know, in 2008 when I joined the reserve, but it's definitely become a bigger factor in how we conduct business. It is something that not everyone talks about, but what we do is we provide our members with the opportunity to see someone, and it's all confidential and it's not tracked. That's the neat thing too. It's not like going to a doctor's office where it's, you know, your name is written down and there's no log.
Yeah. So, outside the room, people don't know you're there.
Yeah. We're blessed to have our DPH. We're blessed to have that. The synergy that I really hope that Moore and the 507th, you know, whether it's the exercises or just coming over to visit, you know, having your police officers or your firemen, and there's so many other, I just use those two as good examples, but there's so many different ways that I think our two communities could interact and meet one another and learn from one another. And I really want it to be more than just come over and say hello and see you, but really involve our folks and make the effort to involve the 507th, the Okies alongside, what do you call yourself? The Moorites, the Moranians,
what are you guys? For the old timers and Moore, it's the Morons.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that. But that's for the old timers and Moore. That's what
the Morons. All right.
You know, we've got three high schools and Moore. Some are proud to be Moore Lions. Others Westmore Jaguars, and then Southmore
Sabercats.
Yeah, Southmore, Westmore, which is in Oklahoma City.
Oh, okay.
And then Moore High School.
Okay.
So interesting thing about the Moore school system is that it's the second or third largest one in the state. And 60% of the students do not live in Moore or do not attend a
proper
school. In Moore. They're in Oklahoma City or they're a little part of Norman or on the east of Moore. So, so it's interesting. Huh. Most of the buildings in the Moore school system are not in Moore. They're in Oklahoma City. So
I'm going to have to look at those. I'm not seeing the way the lines are drawn. I have to look at that. Okay.
Yeah, so the Moore School District goes all the way to Will Rogers Airport to the west, and then to Triple X Road to the east, south of I-40.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Question I'm sure that everyone would like to know, especially being you're relatively new, but I think you've been here quite a few times now. How have your perspectives changed, maybe some of the biases, good and bad? Good and bad. We got our fair share of morons too. We got 70 people living more, so we got 70 morons in our wing. The moron comment, I will not mention anymore. All right. I know no morons and more, for the record.
Appreciate that.
But how have your perspectives changed now that you've kind of gotten some insight into what we do, how we do it?
Well, very impressed about the quality of people that are here. Everyone
I've met. That's great to hear.
I mean, first-rate people. And so,
that's great to hear.
Very, very inspired by that. As far as perceptions, the depth of everything that goes on. So, for instance, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, I took a tour years ago, but then when you're in this program and you get to actually meet people and you're here several times, you get to realize the depth of everything that goes on and how much there is involved in it. And it's just for someone that looks at Tinker Air Force Base from afar, they can't really grasp that because they don't know. And so it's been really beneficial for me to be on the inside and see this. And so to follow up with what you said a couple of minutes ago about working together and things like that, well, I would appreciate it if you would reach out to us and say, hey, can you help us in this area?
You bet.
Because it's easier for me to respond to what the city of Moore can do to help a specific request from you or a general request at whatever the case may be, as opposed to me trying to figure out what would be beneficial for the base, because there's just so much to it. That,
you're right. You're right. That's a great point. You bet. So we'll be a little more directive in that. Here's some areas that we need help, or I love that. And I appreciate you saying that. And we'll get with the staff. In fact, in our next UTA, I'll ask the commanders where they believe we could really find some synergy. and then we'll get back to you. Yeah. I think that's great. And we really
would enjoy that.
And more, we involve our commanders too, and our SELs. SELs are the senior enlisted leaders. So we have our officers and that you need the enlisted leaders also right there side by side. It's a team effort, but I will talk to both of them. And we have quite a few squadron, but okay. I'm going to take you up on that. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
No, please do.
That's great. That's great. I mean, it's just for our folks to know that there's a city nearby that cares enough to have these kind of, I mean, I know you have job fairs and areas that more could help, I say teach for lack of a better word, but just the synergy, I'll call it synergy, where I think we could combine efforts. I know those things are there and it'd be cool to start something like that.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Okay. Great. All right. Brooks, thanks again for joining us today. It's been awesome having you here.
Thank you.
It's always awesome. Just having you walk around, seeing the hallways, seeing the pictures, meeting the people. Thanks to everybody again who listens to these podcasts. Hopefully this is bringing some goodness to your, whether you're leaving the UTA or coming to the UTA, or it's just the middle of the month and you want to find out something about the 507th. Hopefully this is one of those tools. It was one of the things I was kind of asked to bring up, and I wanted you guys all to make sure that you knew that there's always an opportunity to ask a question, whether it's me or it's your supervisor or your commander, to get answers to questions that you might have. And it runs the entire gamut. It can be anything. So something that our public affairs does that is specific to our wing, and that is there's an email that's sent out the Friday before the UTA that links that month's episode. We release one of these the week of the UTA every month. Use that email, reply to that email, and it'll go to our public affairs, and then that will get here. And I will do my darndest to be as transparent as possible with everything we talk about on this. That's the whole point of this conversation, is to be transparent, honest, and open with you guys. I'll tell you, when I was growing up, I'm the old guy, never thought I'd get here, but being the old guy, we didn't have these types of opportunities and tools. So take advantage of it. If there's anything you guys need, that's a great place to start. Ask the question, and then we can bring that to the podcast and answer it the best we can. I think we're going to wrap up episode 10. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell, Brooks. Thanks for being here again. Everyone else, I hope this isn't my last podcast. I hope I got one more in front of me. But if it's not, if this happens to be my last podcast, this has been a blast being an Okie. I think the world of this unit, I think the world of the culture that you built here and the environment that we have here as Okies. Once an Okie, always an Okie. All right, signing out. See ya.
Fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win is a war of the air.